Against the Storm.
What sense would there be in telling Chris now, Siri? It could only hurt her, and what good would that accomplish? As far as the boy is concerned, he'll have a world and a life of his own, quite apart and quite complete.
For Philip Cameron in Hawthorne, and for Pascal Tyler in Arizona, a letter from Lucretia Hale has profound importance today. Today we bring you another chapter of Against the Storm, written by Sandra Michael and presented by the makers of Ivory Soap. You know, I sometimes wonder just where and when the first cake of Ivory Soap came on the market. Well, I suppose I could find out, but I'd rather use my imagination. I like to think of the first cake of Ivory Soap being launched, you know, like a ship. Yeah, I can see a big public ceremony with a beautiful lady standing there releasing a cake of ivory into a dishpan and saying, "I christen thee Ivory in the name of soft, smooth hands." Of course, that's not really what happened. Ivory didn't start out life as a dishwashing soap. It was first introduced as a fine complexion soap 61 long years ago. But you ladies are smart. You saw Ivory was pure. You could tell from the way it helped your complexion stay smooth and fresh. And you saw how economical Ivory was. So you put two and two together and plop, into the dishpan, that big white cake of Ivory went. And sure enough, it worked. Ivory's purity and gentleness helped your hands stay soft and smooth in spite of daily dishwashing. Here's where you ladies were extra smart. When you discovered Ivory for dishwashing, you didn't say, "Well, this Ivory soap's certainly easy on my hands. I must remember to use it every other Thursday to help my hands stay nice." Now you realize that you ought to use Ivory faithfully in the dishpan every single time you wash dishes. And, of course, friends, that's absolutely true. You can't go switching back and forth to strong soaps for your dishes and expect your hands to look their best. Well, think what would happen if you slipped up and used a strong soap on your complexion sometimes. And really, it's a pleasure to use Ivory faithfully for dishes for the sake of your pocketbook, too, isn't it? Yeah, you can give your hands this gentle protection for less than a penny a day. So won't you be kind to your hands all the time? Get some thrifty, large-size cakes of Ivory soap today. Use this pure soap for all your dishwashing. Out in Arizona, Pascal Tyler doesn't very often make trips to town from his ranch. Once in a while, he goes in to make a call at the bank and the barber shop and to chat with some of his old friends in town. Usually, on such occasions, he makes a stop at the post office down at the corner of Main and Buffalo Street, just on the off chance that some mail might have come in since the carrier left earlier in the day. It's a bright, hot day in the dusty little Arizona town. Pascal has just come out of the post office, a letter in his hand. It's a letter with a Long Island postmark, a letter from Lucretia Hale. He certainly meant to wait till he was far away from this friendly public thoroughfare before he so much as opened the letter. But he's forgotten all about waiting. He tears the letter open, and right there in the bright sunlight of Main Street between the post office door and the Elite Cafe, Pascal reads his letter. Pascal's oldest friend, unobserved, watches him with a smile from the edge of the sidewalk. For several minutes after the letter has been refolded and put away, Pascal stares into the street, seeing nothing.
Well, Pascal, when do you figure on lighting back to Earth again?
Why, Doc. Hello there, Doc. I didn't see you.
No, I'll say you didn't. I've been waiting for you to come down out of the clouds for 5 minutes, more or less.
Now, what are you talking about, Doc?
Oh, nothing. Fine day, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, beautiful day.
What brings you to town? You don't look as though you need a haircut.
Oh, I just had one.
Yep. Yeah, I saw you sitting at the tonsorial a while ago.
Oh, did you for a fact?
No. Uh-huh. Well, what news from the pretty widow?
Widow? Well, yeah. What widow?
Now, how many pretty widows have you been corresponding with, Pack? Who would I mean if not Mrs. Hale from New York?
Oh, Miss Hale. Oh, but she's not a widow, Doctor.
Oh, she isn't. Well, whatever. How is she, anyway? I've been meaning to ask if for no other reason than out of professional interest. Mm. You know, well, I'd like to know if her New York doctors had any criticism to offer about the way that I took care of that fracture.
Yeah, I'll bet you're worried. You know her ankle was practically good as new by the time she left here.
Oh, Pat, you crazy young galoot. What I want to know is, what's she doing back east there? And why'd you ever let her get away? I've been meaning to ask you that question for some time. Now, seeing you with a letter from the lady, I just mean to find out.
Now, how do you know that was a letter from Lucretia, Doc?
Well, unless you're going just plain loco on general principles, it must be. Otherwise, why would you be standing here on Main Street at high noon staring right at a man for 2 or 3 minutes without even seeing him? That's love, Pack, my boy, just as plain as the courthouse clock. And, of course, haven't seen the lady, I can't really blame you, except for letting her get away.
Well, Doc,
I'm well, thank you. But you've been sick at heart for weeks, ever since that young woman left here. Yes, I've noticed it. But I just thought that I'd wait and see if you wouldn't wake up and dash out to New York after the lady. Where's your spunk, Pascal? Why, if your dad was alive, he'd tell you to speak up and ask for what you want in this world. You can't get worse than no for an answer.
Oh, it's funny you're giving me all this advice today, Doc.
Well, now, look here, Pack. Now, don't mind me. It's just an old habit, speaking my mind to you.
Well, I hope you always will. No, the reason I say it's funny is because last night I was thinking maybe I was a plain fool for not taking the next train to New York.
Well, good for you.
At least I'd rather know now once and for all than go around waiting till fall. You see, she'd promised to tell me before whether it was yes or no.
Oh, well, that's a different matter then.
Yeah, I got a letter from her just now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I noticed.
I don't know how to believe it, Doc. I stand here and I look at Main Street and the Plateau Theater over there and the sweet shop and Joe's Bar. The boys hanging around Kennedy's Market there. I see the cars lined up along the street, all gray with dust. And down there at the end of Maine, there's the prairie and the sky coming right down out of the ground there. Yeah, so blue and haze. All looks the same as it always has ever since I can remember. Ever since I just sat in your waiting room over there holding my mother's hand, scared to death because you were going to vaccinate. Oh, it's just the same and completely different. Whole world is different. It's kind of going around in big circles, Doc, and I'm standing in the middle trying to hold on.
Well, in the name of all the states of the Union, Pack, what the dickens was in that letter?
Doc, she says she's made up her mind. She's going to marry me.
In Hawthorne, 2 days have passed since Philip Cameron had lunch with his young sister-in-law, Siri, and since he received a letter from Lucretia Hale. Today, as if in response to his unspoken wish that he could talk with her again, Siri Allen has called at his office to see him.
I happened to be down this way, Phil, so I thought I'd stop in.
Well, I'm darn glad you did. Sit down here, not so far away.
Oh, okay, thank you.
I've been wanting to talk to you, Siri, ever since the other day.
Well, I've been thinking about everything you told me that day. I haven't thought about much else, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I'm sorry. I probably never should have told you.
I'd rather know the truth, so that's all right. But, Phil, I can't tell you what to do. I really can't. The whole thing is beyond me.
That's what I wanted to see you for, Siri. I
I think it's all been settled for me.
Oh?
Yeah, I've had a letter from Lucretia. She is going to marry the gentleman out in Arizona. Next fall. They live out there. Peter Oldham will have a normal home, as the phrase goes.
Well, but is that news, Philip? I thought you told me she was going to marry somebody.
Well, I said she might. But now it's definite. And, it seems to close the story. There isn't any reason why Christie's life should be affected now.
You mean you're not going to tell her?
Well, what real sense would there be in telling Chris? It could only hurt her. And now the boy will have a world and a life of his own, quite apart.
The only thing I don't understand is what difference it would have made to you or to Christie if Miss Hale weren't going to be married this fall.
Philip had thought of that question a good many times before Siri had asked. Why Lucretia's marriage could decide his own problem, he didn't really know. Or if he knew, in his heart, he hadn't acknowledged it to himself. Now that Siri looked at him with her direct, inquiring gaze, the answer formed itself unmistakably in his mind. You know, Ivory Soap is sort of like the brook, with apologies to Mr. Tennyson. Soaps may come and soap may go, but Ivory goes on forever. At least it seems that way when you think of all the years that Ivory's been a favorite in homes throughout the country, doesn't it? Yeah, lots of ladies who were raised on Ivory Soap are now seeing their grandchildren bathed with this pure, gentle soap. Now, it's because Ivory's so pure that it can help your hands stay soft and smooth in spite of dishwashing. That's why I hope you're using Ivory faithfully. Don't go switching back and forth to strong soap for your dishes. Well, think what would happen if you slipped up and used a strong soap on baby skin sometimes. So don't let your stock of large-size Ivory soap run low. Check your supply today and be sure you're being kind to your hands by using Ivory soap for all your dishwashing.
Dear Lucretia, thank you very much for your letter. First of all, may I wish you and your future husband...
Dear Lucretia, today your letter arrived. Tonight I rode out to the place where you and I stood looking down the Gold Valley on a moonlit night. And out there tonight, I told you all the things I don't know how to say on paper.
An answer to Lucretia's letters... from the man she loves and from the man she's going to marry. Tomorrow in Against the Storm. This is Ralph Edwards saying good day for the makers of Ivory Soap and Ivory Flakes. Ivory Flakes are Ivory Soap in quick dissolving flake form. So if you use that big blue box of Ivory Flakes for dishwashing, you give your hands the protection of the same famous ivory purity you get in Ivory Soap. 99 44 100% pure. It floats. Drama, philosophy, deep thinking, and strong action. These are the ingredients of The Guiding Light, that splendid radio drama which I'm sure will appeal to all of you equally with Against the Storm, which you've just heard. Stay tuned in for The Guiding Light.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.